Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Tonight, around the country, a movie called Rogue One. Star Wars is opening up. Massive ticket revenue this weekend. How big will it be? Probably won't be as big as last year's, but they're expecting it to be quite large. And this is kind of a somewhat, kind of a side story slash prequel to all of these. So it's going to be very interesting. But in this day and age that we live right now, everything in life is politics. Everything. No matter what it is, right? You say something about somebody's shoes, they'll trace politics to back. Why are you wearing red shoes, Chad? Is it because you're a staunch Republican? You're wearing blue shoes. Why are you wearing blue shoes, Chad? Today I got gray shoes on. Why is that? Because I don't care. Because it matches my shirt. And I don't want to look like a dumbass. We can do that now, right? And now, more so than ever, with what we have in front of us, when it comes to Donald Trump, now the president-elect, and soon to be, very soon, the president of the United States. Everything is political. But it's always been that way. We just haven't been as aware. We haven't had as much knowledge and opportunity to share things with each other. But how much politics can you read into something? And Rogue One is getting a lot of, you know, crap about whether or not it is political, whether or not it is anti-white, whether or not it is all of these kind of things. You know, is it anti-Trump? Is it anti-white? Is it establishment? It's this young group of heroes who goes and takes on the evil Death Star. And, you know, did they rewrite it or not? Bob Iger, the guy who's the president of Disney's like, it's not political. It is political, though, because that's what politics is and that's what entertainment is. You've got people that will work things in here or there to make a political joke, to make a stand. It may be subtle or it may slap you in the face. You got to decide what it is. Look, if you don't think so, Star Wars is, I mean, first of all, let's just look at it. You've got stormtroopers. What did the Nazis have? Stormtroopers. You've got, you've got the likes of Darth Vader with his helmet. What did the Nazis have? The Nazis had the Wehrmacht, right? They had the werewolves. All of these things play in it. There's subtleness in there. Some of the other movies have been compared to, you know, the fight in Vietnam, and that the Death Star and the many of these places where they're fighting were like Hanoi and several other places. So there's so many things that play into this. How much of this is overthought? Well, of course, the conspiracy theorists are out there, but it doesn't mean that somebody doesn't put a twist on something. It doesn't mean somebody doesn't put their own flavor on how the political atmosphere feels. But I'll tell you this, you know, it's over because people are so looking for something to bitch about. And that goes on both sides. I'll admit the right does it far less, but there's those conspiracy theorists out there who live to find something inside of something where they could say it's a double standard. It's a conspiracy. It's against me. Bah! The movie's going to open up with huge dollars. In fact, Anthony and Blake are bouncing out of here right as the show finishes because they're going to go see it tonight. They've got tickets. I would have loved to have gone. I thought about going, but there's somebody who's 4 foot with strawberry blonde hair and blue eyes, and we have our movie already picked out of when we're going to go see it so we can see it together. There's no political statements in it, Bob Iger says. Maybe not to you, Bob. You may have to look for them, but people will look for them. They'll look for subtle things. Do I think it's political in a way that it demeans and disparages white people and it's anti-white? No. But you can make a case for anything to be political. And you could spin it however you want. One of the great sayings when it comes to something like this, how you spin something is, One man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. Think about that for a second. One man's freedom fighter who's fighting for what they think is the freedom that they want and deserve, for the culture that they want, to the culture that they're fighting against, that person's a terrorist. So you could look at it in two ways here. You could say, oh, this is anti-white, but you could also look and say, well, the Death Star has been made out to be this evil, bad thing, when really it's just a giant corporation that's being completely wronged, and who's trying to bring it down? The one percenters? No, the 99%. That's who's coming after them. The little people. Their whole goal is to bring them down. See how you flip it? If you look for it, you can find it. Doesn't matter what it is. Does not matter what it is. If you look for it, you can find it. This movie's going to be massive. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm wondering, and we're going to have Scott Carty on tomorrow to talk about it, and we're going to get the guy's review tomorrow. I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to do huge. Huge. They're looking at a top 15 opening of all time. So what that would be, I'm assuming 210, 220 million. So you've got Star Wars, Rogue One. Everybody knows it's coming out, unless you live under like a rock. So nobody's not going to, I mean, if you're not going to go see it, and the Trump supporters out there that are, you know, hashtag no Star Wars, or hashtag don't see Star Wars, or hashtag blah, 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 Star, whatever you're doing, nobody's going to listen. First of all, I have never been one of those people that says I'm boycotting something for this or something for that. It really takes me a lot to say, and I don't tell people to boycott. I just say I'm not going to watch. But I don't hashtag no Trump, never Trump, hashtag no Star Wars, never Star. I don't do any of that stuff. Because I just think it's silly. If I don't like it, I'm not telling you not to go see it. I'm going to go see the movie. I'm excited about it. When I tweeted this out today, whether or not people, as a poll on the on Facebook and also at Twitter, when I tweeted this out, of course, I get somebody, two or three people sent me stuff about, you know, oh, this is anti-white, anti. Again, you're looking for things. What I just said could easily be what some people think. Right? That these are the good guys. That this is the world we live in. That this is a big government, that this is all this kind of stuff, and this is a corporation, and this is the, and the little people want to come take them down because they feel they've been wronged. Spin it how you want to spin it. This is the world we live in. Politics is always going to be front and center in everything we do now. With the advent of the internet, with social media as big as it is, with all of these things, boom, it is always going to be politics. Because we have a chance now to use our voice. We have a chance now to research things. We have a chance now to chase stuff down that we didn't before. And we also have a chance to listen to people who put things inside of our brains that are insane at times. And we buy onto them because we're looking for something. Check out the poll. Will you be seeing Star Wars Rogue One? 71% says, yes, I will. 29% says, I am over Star Wars. I have a feeling we know where that's going. It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. My buddy saw it over the weekend, and they said, look, it is, you recognize some things in it. And by the way, they're both very liberal, and they found nothing about that to be, you know, I don't know what anybody's talking about. And, you know, they would laugh and tell me if they did. They said, it's great, and it's action. It's a little bit darker. So if you've got young kids who can't handle that stuff. I was talking to my friend last night. I said, you know, Jack freaks out at cartoons sometimes when they get scary. But live action, yeah, no problem with that. So we're gonna go. But I'm, you know, they said it's action, though. It's definitely an action movie. And it's very interesting. So we'll see. Very, very, very interesting. And if you find something political in it, I would love to hear what the political things you found in it with your conspiracy theories. You know what's not a conspiracy? The fact that we're changing from 2016 to 2017. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I kind of let myself go this year. I was doing really well there, but then I put on about 10, 15 pounds here towards the end of the year. I got to get back. I got to make some changes. The best kind of changes you can make are subtle changes. And one of the things you can do is start taking Super Beets. You hear me talk about it for a while now. It's my go-to drink. Take it with me everywhere I go. If I'm feeling sluggish or tired, I need a little pick-me-up. This is what I reach for. I've replaced it with any of the nasty stuff that I used to be a huge soda drinker. I haven't had soda for 2 years. This January, I haven't had soda for 2 years. I love my lemonade, I love my Super Beets, and I love my water. That's what I do. Super Beets is easy. You just take it, scoop, boom, into some water, and away you go. And trust me, the energy boost you will feel is huge. I mean, it's massive. Taste, delicious. Energy boost, boom. And it's one of those things where as you're looking for gifts this year, last-minute gifts ideas, this is the kind of thing you do. You give a gift like this to somebody, and even yourself, you will feel the difference, and they'll be like, hey, thank you. Phil, you take it. You love it. You like it. It's your thing.
Absolutely, and I do feel a difference right after about 20 minutes. I have a lot more energy. Again, we've talked about my 26-hour drive last week. Brought Super Beets with me. I've almost stopped drinking coffee altogether because, you take 2-3 cups of coffee, I get shaky, I get jittery, and then I get a crash. Don't get that with Super Beets. And, of course, the taste is just awesome.
It's guaranteed your money back. So this holiday season, give a gift that's amazing. Take my word for it. Check it out. Give it a try. If you don't like it, send it back. They'll give you your money back. That's how much they believe in this. Now, it's not even just about the guarantee. Think about what they're going to do for you right now. They're going to give you a $100 gift for free just by giving Super Beets a shot, because this is the gift-giving season, and the gift this year to give is health. As always, you're going to get a 30-day supply free along with your first order. So your first order, you get 30-day supply free, but you're going to get a book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free. It comes with free shipping, but this is where it gets great. This holiday season, you're also going to get 1 month supply free of Nutrient Foundation, the unique daily multivitamin specifically designed to work with Super Beets and packed with 24 essential nutrients for daily cardiovascular support. It's guaranteed your money back. Go to chadbeets.com. That's chadbeets.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. It works. It works big time. Chadbeets.com, 800-561-2677. Tell them Chad sent you. We do it this hour, this moment. It's called What's Next. We look forward to what's next when it comes to fake news. Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see. What's next?
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? This hour every day at this time, we do what's next. We break it down top to bottom of what's next. Fake news. That's what's next. Facebook's going to start using Snopes and other fact checkers to combat and bury fake news. The fact is, if you have to have some sort of guideline or you know, guidance, parental guidance on this, you know, fake news guidance, this is what are you doing? First of all, and I tell people this, when you send me something and you say, look at this, Chad, I ask you question. Every single question, no matter if you're on the left side of the aisle, right side of the aisle, where did you get that? Did you get it from a reputable source? Well, they're all liars. Did you get it from a reputable source? If you send me something from the Huffington Post or Breitbart, if you send me something from the Daily Cause or Progressive Daily or Right Wing News, I'm here to tell you, you're getting a portion of a story. And it's the portion you want. And that's not fake news, kids. Fake news, again, is The Onion. That's fake news. What's The Onion? It's a satirical site. It's hilarious. Go check it out. Those other things, those things are propaganda. That's what that is. What's next for fake news? How about this? This year for fake news, Chad's going to do all he can to get everybody to understand that this isn't fake news. This is propaganda. This is what this is. Whether it's people out there trying to convince other human beings that Hillary Clinton is running a child porn sex slavery operation in North Carolina or wherever the hell it was at a ping pong comet pizza. Or that Donald Trump is really the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. And the minute he becomes president, he's going to take away all of our constitutional rights because you saw it on the Daily Cause or whatever. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to call you out on it. You send me any of these alt-left, alt-right, whatever the hell they are, sites, I'm going to laugh at you. While there may be 20 things in there, of which two, three, maybe four things might have a ring of truth, and one may be absolutely truthful, but when you put it all together, you buy into it hook, line, and sinker when most of it is part of a story or a bold-faced lie. So what's next for fake news? It's not going anywhere, but I'm here to tell you, it ain't fake news. It's propaganda. That's what it is. Top to bottom. Goebbels-style propaganda. Put it out there enough. Show the world enough. Tell the people enough, scream loud enough, conspiracy theory the hell out of it enough, and people will buy it. What's next for fake news? No more fake news. Propaganda. That's what's next for that. And if you need to go somewhere to have your points validated, doesn't matter what anybody puts on Facebook, that this may be fake news or not from a reputable site, because you're not going there to find out the truth. You're going there to have your point validated. Fake news. No mas. Propaganda. Understand the difference. It's pretty simple. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Love it when you text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Got a very interesting story about a Trump supporter who hit somebody, and everybody saw it, an older man. And what happened today between the older man and the young black man he hit? Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, this entire campaign season was, you know, it was crazy. It was loud. It was in your face. It was divisive. It was at times cartoonish. And there was some buffoonery full of lies and excitement. It was politics. You know, it was everything that we think politics should be. And as I watched all that took place, and I soaked up as much as I could, being as real as possible. Because again, not only the propaganda and the fake news and all the other stuff out there, but you just never know what was real and who was there complaining for real or who was setting people up and this, that, and the other. But there was definitely some issues and some tensions, especially amongst Trump fans and the perception of people in the minority community that Trump is, again, you know, somehow this alt right white supremacist kind of guy, and that's who loves him and the whole nine yards. Not that there's not some truth to the fact that there are the alt-right and white that love Trump, but Trump's not. I think Trump's message was about bringing jobs back to the country. I think he's trying his hardest to do what he can. I read it somewhere today that his approval ratings are the lowest for any new president, maybe in history. But we're very divided right now. That's to be expected. But one of the enduring images or situations, and I wonder if you guys remember this, was in a Fayetteville, North Carolina rally where a Trump supporter, older white gentleman, long hair, hat, took a swing and punched a black guy. Sucker punched him as they were walking him out. They were walking him out, and they were going up the steps, and boom, he went after him. His name was John McGraw. He was 79 years old. He punched Rakeem Jones as he was being escorted out by the sheriff's office for disrupting it. And on a few occasions afterwards, McGraw said that Jones deserved it. The next time we see him, we might have to kill him. We don't know who he is. He might be a terrorist or part of a terrorist organization. And he showed little remorse for it at all. Little remorse. He said, you know, you bet I liked it. Knocking the hell out of that big mouth. No one, we don't know if he's ISIS. We don't know who he is, but we know he's not acting like an American, which he really was. I mean, he may be disrupting something. We have a right to hear stuff, but, you know, that's the beauty of the protesting kind of thing. But it was an endearing image and thing that we saw. And this is one of those things where the division started to come in and we started to see the things that were happening in Chicago, albeit a good portion of that was protesters who were, you know, on Soros' payroll or were wouldn't have gone out there without some extra. Well, today, they hugged it out. In court, they hugged it out. McGraw was originally charged with assault and battery and disorderly conduct, but they hugged it out. They did. Rakeem Jones said he accepted the apology before the two hugged it out and said he was glad he got to essentially, you know, he said it just felt good to be able to shake his hand and face him. It's real. We're human beings. What we're wearing is a meat suit. I mean, in the end, that's what it is. Like, some people's meat suits fit better. Other people's meat suits are not very good. But that's what we're wearing. We're wearing, what's the movie, Men in Black?
Wearing an Edgar suit.
He's wearing an Edgar suit. That's kind of what we're wearing. I'm wearing a Chad suit. You're wearing whatever suit you're wearing, right? Shelly suit, Melissa suit, an Anthony suit. Scotty suit, whatever it is, you're wearing those things.
I'd like to have my Phil suit taken in a little bit.
Yeah, I'd like to have my Chad suit taken in a little bit too. My suit is not very good. It's a little roomy. But underneath, man, we got the same blood. We have brains. We have eyeballs. Some of you have kidneys. Some of you are missing a kidney. Some of you have livers. Some of you are missing part of your liver. Some of you have a spleen. Some of you don't, or appendix. But we have the same stuff. And the left has gone and, they made race a huge thing over the last two decades where political correctness became about telling everybody, don't talk about race, but then pointing out race. And the alt-right and the crazies out there and people get ginned up by stuff because of ignorance and stupidity and thinking their world's changing, which is very true. Again, we as a nation, whether you want to believe it or not, we're becoming a browner nation. We're becoming a nation that is far more culturally diverse, far more minority diverse and based than we were 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's the truth. And that makes people uncomfortable. But we're all the same. Experiences in life are the things that bind us. Diversity in thought is the greatest diversity you can have. We're essentially all the same, though, right? Some people have better talents than others. Some people, they make poorer choices than others. But we are born. You're not born hating somebody. Those things come through experiences and environment. This guy lashed out, 79 years old. Did I think he hates him in his heart? No. Did I think he harbored some animosity and some amorous towards him and his viewpoints, whether it be, you know, a liberal viewpoint or the fact that he was black? I think there's a possibility of that. Do I think Mr. McGraw voted at any time for President Obama? I do not believe he did. I could be wrong because I don't know what's in his heart, but I don't think he hated him. We can hug it out. We got to get past this baloney that we have built up inside of us. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy to see the way that both sides play off each other and use fear to gin up their crowds and their bases. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a dreamer, you know, telling him that, you know what, these, you know, if you try to leave the country, you know, he's going to build a wall so you can never come back in and terrify them. And it's only because he hates, you know, brown people. Right. And then the other side, they tell you that they're coming for everything that you've ever dreamed of. And it's pretty soon going to be an open border for everybody in the world. And we're going to go from 360 million people to 500 million people overnight. And blah, blah. It's a fear factor. Use your own brain if you think that's true. Because you know in deep in your heart, well, that's really not true. You understand, well, that's really not true. You get that. But you don't believe it wholeheartedly. We are all the same. Again, we have meat suits on. That's all that separates us, right? My meat suit happens to be a bit pasty, a bit tattooed, and not good in the sun. Other people's meat suits happen to be a bit darker. Better in the sun. But that's it. Two arms, two legs, two eyes. We talk, we do this. Our minds may work differently, and that's where the diversity part comes in. People say, oh, I always, you know, you're not supposed to see color. Wrong. The beauty of everything is you're supposed to see stuff that's different. It doesn't make them different. It's just different. A perfect example right now. I'm sitting in front of a PC. Anthony's next to me. He's got a giant Mac. Right there. This beautiful iMac he's got right here. I've got one of those in my office. Each one of them are unique. Each one of them is different. I can tell the difference. But you know what? They each do the same thing. Right? One may do something a little bit different. PC does a little bit more business side of things. The Mac does a little bit more creative side of stuff. But they essentially do the same thing. We've gotten to this point in where we shouldn't be. Because we're so busy saying, you must identify this as a Mac, treat it as such, but don't actually talk about it being a Mac, this, that, and the other. You over here must do X, Y. It's stupid. We're the same. It's just a meat suit. That's it. No more, no different. And we've got to find our common ground. You know, I look at my frustration with Obama and the fact that he didn't, I think, do what he could have done for race relations in this country. That a white president probably can't do in an African-American community that a black president could have. Unite. We're better together. We're stronger together. We are a much healthier country when we talk about these kind of things. And when we stop talking about them as in what happened yesterday and start talking about where are we going in the future. I tell people, go out. You see somebody? Don't be afraid to say hi. Don't be afraid to open your mind and talk to somebody. Somebody could be a liberal. They could be gay. They could be black. They could be Hispanic. They could be white. Whatever. Don't be afraid. Don't let the fear eat you up inside. I love the fact, you know, I try to be as positive as possible. I like us to push through things. I'm more about finding solutions than I am focusing on problems. I love talk radio. It's what I do. I was a fan before I worked in talk radio. Worked in radio for a very long time, but I was always a fan of talk radio. I listen to talk radio now. You know what I hear? 3 hours of bitching. 3 hours of absolute, let's focus on problems and tear each other apart and blame the other side for something. Blame doesn't get you anything. Focus on how we become stronger. If these two gentlemen, a gentleman who punched, an old white gentleman, punched a young African-American at a Trump rally that the world got to see, if they can hug it out when they are probably polar opposites on the spectrum of politics, if they can hug it out and they can forgive each other and they can move on, why can't we as a nation be a little bit more mature in dealing with these things? I think it'll benefit us all. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, love when you do, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can also call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Say what? Say what? Ugly Christmas sweater. That was like a thing, and then the hipsters ruined it, right? They started hipsters ruin everything. Like, you find something cool, and there's a guy with a ponytail that's, you know, one of those ninja knots or whatever those things are called, and they come and they ruin the whole damn thing. But there is an ugly Christmas sweater with 25,000 Swarovski crystals going for $30,000. Say woo! It is ugly. It's got 24,274 crystals. Took 52 hours to make. It features stones from all over the body, from collar to arm to cuff, and has a Tipsy Elves logo right near the bottom of the hem. It's the world's most expensive ugly sweater. It's going to make its television debut on Friday, December 16th, tomorrow, on Good Morning America, because tomorrow is Ugly Sweater Day. Because now we have a day, like we talk like a pirate one day, we have Donut Day, we have National Hot Dog Day, we have Arbor Day, now we have Ugly Ass Christmas Sweater Day. Now, Phil, producer Phil, tomorrow at Radio America, there will be libations and laughter because it is Christmas Party Day at the old Radio America. Will you be wearing an ugly sweater?
No, I will actually be wearing a shirt and tie.
Oh! See, this is the beauty of Phil. Phil will wear flip-flops and a T-shirt all the time, and then when it's party time, he puts on a suit and tie.
Well, our board of directors is going to be here. I got to look nice.
Got to look good. Got to look good! That is an, I'm sorry, 30 grand for a sweater? Like, you and I freak out when we hear T-shirts. $100 for a T-shirt? What's it made of? Angel tears?
I know. I don't get that either. Give me a four-pack of Hanes for $6.99.
That's right, because three of them aren't going to fit, but you know what? I'm going to make one of them fit. Tommy G. Thompson. Man, that's a name. Like, if you're going to have a name, Tommy G. Thompson. That's what I am. He was once the greatest treasure hunter of his time. Dark-bearded diver who hauled troves of gold from the Atlantic Ocean in 1988. It was dubbed the richest find in history. Years later, accused of cheating his investors out of the fortune, Tommy led federal agents on a great manhunt pursued from Florida mansion to mid-rent hotel room booked under a fake name. I wonder what a cool fake name he would have.
Like Carlos Danger?
What's a Carlos Danger's a good one. Ron Mexico? Oh, that's still my... That's my favorite. Michael Vick, when he had to go tested for VD, and he said Ron Mexico.
Because that's where he got it.
Yes, indeed. Here's the deal. Thompson, his beer is now Graves. He lives in an Ohio jail cell. He's there until he does what? Gives up the location of them their gold. That's right. The wreck of the SS Central America waited 130 years for Thompson to come along. The steamer went down in a hurricane in 1857, taking almost 500 people with it, and at least 3 tons of California gold to the sea floor. A man as personable and as brilliant as he was, he recruited more than 160 investors to fund his expedition. He spent years studying the ship's fateful voyage and developed technology to plunge deeper in the ocean than anybody ever had. And he found it. He found it. 95% of the wreck site is still unexplored, potentially worth $400 million. But he's not going to give it up. Man. Like, okay, so obviously, you know, it's one of those things where what do you do, right, if you're him? Like, do you give it up and get out of jail, but you search for it? I mean, how much are you going to get? They want to know where it's at. Look, it sucks that he's in jail, and I'm sure his investors want to know. But in this day and age, man, you can't trust anybody with anything. Because if you tell somebody something, they're going to go spill it. Because they can't keep their mouths shut. Like human beings, we as a species have a want to tell stuff to people, right? Like, and everybody listening has somebody in that office is like, if you want this to get around the office, go tell that person and it will get around the office. You go tell so-and-so and that will go from from wall to wall within 20 minutes, everybody will know your business. And there are some people, you know, you're like, I tell this person, they're going to, if they're waterboarded, they're taking it to the grave. They said he had a 10-year head start, unlimited resources, but he hit it out the park. He says, what he's saying is, I don't know where I found this. Somebody gave it to me. Thompson's investors are the ones who say, look, we want to make millions of dollars out of this. Millions. He's believed to be hiding secret gold coins everywhere and trust accounts for his children. Tell you what, though, man, you can't. Where are you going to spend that? Like, that's like people who steal, like, if you steal the Mona Lisa, who's buying that? Like, you, nobody's buying that. You, it's too big. You can't sell. There's no, nobody wants that kind of heat. You show up with some gold, you know, bullion from some 1700 wreckage, people are going to know. What, are you going to sell it at Bob's Pawn Shop? Get low-browed, low dollar for it? No. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can always email us as well, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. And check out ChadBensonShow.com for all of our parodies and our wackiness and all the headlines of today. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.